come on. Yeah, come on. It's like that. It's like that.
Hello and welcome to my young, loyal listeners of Teen Bible Study Taught in 10 Minutes. So what do you know? Word on the go. This podcast is brought to you by and produced by Real Time with the Bennett, where real talk happens all the time. Woo! I'm your host, Minister Bennett, of today's episode, and my co-host is...
the lovely Sister Bennett, as my husband affectionately calls me. Woo! Thank you for allowing and trusting us to be a part of your Christian walk.
In this week's episode, we will be discussing fire or admire. Who is the lawless man? I ain't disrupting anybody, according to God's word. We are back live in the PNT podcast studio with another great lesson for another great week. And yep, you guys guessed it. We're going to talk about lawlessness. We're going to talk about being a disruptor. We're going to talk about fire and admiring. We're going to talk about all these things. Yes, we have a power-packed lesson this week. So let me dive right down into it. The biblical and world meaning of lawlessness and disruptive. The state of giving himself or herself over completely to a sinful lifestyle. To prevent something from continuing or operating in a normal way. We can find this in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed and the man doomed to destruction. Deception is inevitable in the life of a Christian. And I know that just blows your mind. You have to decide each and every day that you won't be the deceiver of those who are seeking a savior. Yes, deception comes in many forms, and you could be one of them. The deceiver has one mission and one mission only, to stand between people and the truth. In this case, we know who the truth is. John 14, 6 and 7 tells us this. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. A deceiver can never, and I mean never, claim to be the truth. If they are selling people deception and very persuasive lies, yes, they are very persuasive. They're manipulative. They have a way with words. They have the gift of gab that lead to a place called destruction of life in any form. Okay. I stand corrected. Anyone can claim to be something that they are not. I think we call that fake, phony, something like that. I mean, you know, it is what it is. Anybody can claim to be something that they ain't. And that does not make it so. Let me make that clear. Someone can say they're something, but that doesn't make it so. We can find this in Acts 19, 13 through 15. An example of those spreading deception. Watch this. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. The seven sons and the Jewish priests were doing just that. They were trying to say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Let me say it again. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. You don't see what's wrong with that in its form that I just read. But this is what happened. One day, the evil spirit answered them. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? When you're the deceiver, the evil spirits and Satan don't know who you are. Well, they do, but they don't. Because these deceivers are Christians pretending to be something that they're not. These are people of Christ, people who are priests, who are teaching the word, but they ain't really filled with the Holy Spirit. What you missed in that, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, basically, they're saying in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. They're not saying in the name of Jesus in whom they believe. They're saying it with Paul preaches. Because if you know Jesus for yourself, then you don't have to say Paul preaches him. I can simply say, I know him. And in Jesus' name, my Lord and Savior. See, I can simply just say that. Jesus did say that we would do the works that he did. And more importantly, you must check your motives. Are you doing it for yourself? Or are you doing it for the kingdom of God? What is your motive while doing the work of God? 2 Thessalonians 3 and 6 says this: "In the name of the Lord Jesus, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us." I'm going to be quick with this one. This verse supports the discussion we are having by also calling out and attention to those who are not deceivers, but those who know Christ and have decided to live a life of idleness, doing nothing and doing nothing for God. When they do decide to participate, and sometimes they do, they are very disruptive to the growth and maturity of Christians on fire for God. Romans 14 and 13 says this: "Makes it abundantly clear that we are never to be a hindrance to those wanting to mature in their love and life of God. We are not to be a stumbling block," is what it says more importantly. We are not to be an obstacle. I know what you're thinking. If I just mind my business and do nothing, how can I be accused of being disruptive and stopping someone else's growth? I answer that question with this verse, and I'm done. Romans 12:1 says this: "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." And service is you doing something as an action. You can't provide service and sit on the sideline and be idle. Father God, I come to you right now, and I pray for my young loyal listeners, all of my listeners, Lord God. Well, actually, they're yours, God. I pray that you forgive us for every sin, thought, deed, or action, Lord God. Make us white as snow, that we may come boldly before your throne of grace and petition you for a heart and spirit of not being a deceiver and not having the spirit of lawlessness and not having the spirit of idleness, Lord God, that we are on fire and we are working to further and build your kingdom and all that we do. And we will do the works that your son has promised us that we can do, but we will do them in his name because we believe, not because someone else preached them, but because we believe. We have a firsthand account of the power of Christ in our lives, and we will let that flow from our lives. We pray this right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, let's see what they're rapping about over here in the conversation corner.
Hey, Minister Bennett.
What y'all rapping about over here?
Well, after we got settled, one of the youth said, "I don't know why I have to keep coming here." So I had to flip the script on my lesson, and I read 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 through 10, which reads, "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." I explained that they come here because someone in their life care enough about them and love them so much that they want them to see heaven and to know what heaven is like and want them to be believers. Now, in order to be a believer, you have to do what? You have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you will be saved. Does our work as Christians stop there? No, not at all. We then become disciples by reading our word, allowing God to change our hearts and renewing our minds. Just like the disciples, we tell others about Jesus. We have to work out our own soul's salvation with fear and trembling, because just as the scripture says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Your Christian walk is very serious, not to be taken lightly or to be played with. Your soul is at stake. This is why you are here. This is why we teach. This is how we show you that we love you just as much as the one who brought you here, so that on that day when Jesus comes, you will be one of the saints that will admire him. When we come together to encourage you and to give you tools so that you can help someone else who may be struggling and asking why they are here, this is why we do this. This is why you're here. You've heard this saying before. You may be the only Bible that someone reads. Take that saying to heart and ask God to use you. People are watching you, whether you want them to or not. They are watching your actions. They are listening to you talk. What are they getting from seeing and hearing you? Is it godly? Are you playing church or are you serious about church? Believe and live out the Bible teachings so that you will not be one of those who do not obey and will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Being outside of the will of God is a devastating place to be. I know I don't want to be there. I do not want to be the ones who are shut out of heaven. Make a change today, young loyal listeners, while you still have chance, while you still have time. Don't be those who will be shut out from heaven. Be blessed, our young loyal listeners.
In summary, the importance of knowing that disruptive behavior and lawlessness is not the way of the cross. I will close with this in two quotes. Living a life outside the lines of God's guidance and protection leads to a life of idleness that disrupts the true nature of God that was provided through Jesus Christ's death. Jesus' death and resurrection was to bring life and future to all that called on him as their Lord and Savior. Have you? The devil finds work for idle hands. It is not the violence that sets a man apart. It is the distance he is prepared to go. Simply put, what are you willing to do? How far are you willing to go for God? As always, please don't forget to subscribe and share so that you and your friends will get all future notifications when new and exciting episodes are uploaded and posted. Until next time, stay safe and live a life holy and acceptable to God. After all, it's your reasonable service. With a special thank you to LJ Productions for post-production editing techniques used for this podcast. This podcast was sponsored in part by the Body of Christ Church in Waldorf, Maryland, Pastor Kenneth E. Stewart, its Christian Education Ministry, in association with Real Time with the Bennetts. Or Real Talk, what? You got it. Happens all the time.
Yeah, it's like that.